The scripture this morning is from 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you have invited us, not for anything in us, but because of your love. You've invited us into your family. And it was not an easy invitation. You've done it through the willingness and obedience of your Son. And you have gifted us with your Spirit, your presence to dwell with us, to free us from sin, that we may fight it, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and what he's done for us as we walk with him. We pray that by that Spirit, we would see him more clearly this morning, that the worthiness of Jesus would be heard through your word, and be seen through your people welcoming one another. That a watching world would see that worthiness and turn to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what lasts? Does your money last? Does your health last? Does your youth last? Youth, literally, we have a few youth here who will not be youth next year. They will not be coming back to youth group. And so the youth doesn't last. We also have some skin on our faces that's going to graduate as well. So the smooth parts of our face, they won't last. Strength won't last. And as Jesus puts it, well, this is a summary of it. Moth, rust, and robber leave little to spare. So what lasts? The psalmist concludes praying to the Lord in Psalm 119. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. In his first letter, Peter quotes Isaiah, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. The prophetic word, Peter calls it, in the second letter that we're in right now. The prophetic word to which you, beloved, will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. And there, paying attention to this word, what do we see? Chapter 3, where we are. Jump back to verse 10. We see, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed or found out. So what lasts? We see that not even this world lasts. There's a band some of y'all might be familiar with called Cademan's Call. This song might be stuck in your head as a result now. They have a song called This World. It says, this world has nothing for me, and this world has everything. All that I could want and nothing that I need. Peter has demonstrated that there is a day of judgment coming, and this old world won't last. From verse 10, jump ahead now to verse 13. But according to God's promise, We, the people of God, are waiting for new heavens and a new earth. But that's not actually where Peter stops. He adds a description to new heavens and new earth. The people of God are waiting for a new world in which righteousness dwells. So according to Scripture, on the day of judgment, when Jesus returns, the old world will burn away. All things will be exposed. The new world will be fully established. And righteousness is what survives the whole process. Righteousness lasts. Righteousness endures. Beloved, since you are eagerly anticipating the place where righteousness dwells, be the people in whom righteousness dwells. And how are we to be those people in whom righteousness dwells? Peter instructs us by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for that, we're going to look at a few places. First is the destination of growing in grace. This is where everything's heading, and we've just been talking about it. The new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he's speaking of Jerusalem being restored, but the picture he paints carries for the new Jerusalem, for the new heavens and the new earth. He says, violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. There is no cause for violence or devastation or destruction in the destination where righteousness dwells. I want to go to there. Why is looking ahead at that destination important for us now? Because, beloved, the righteousness that will fill that world is the righteousness God is growing in you now. The righteousness that will fill that world where death and destruction and violence and devastation have no place, that righteousness is the very righteousness God is growing in you now. Which brings us to the second place we're going to look at for growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Not the destination of righteousness, but the beginning of righteousness for the believer. The new heart where righteousness dwells. Peter begins the letter with great encouragement. Peter the Apostle. The apostle is a pretty big term to be using. They're the eyewitnesses of Jesus. He says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, Peter says of the beloved he's writing to, of equal standing with ours, not by their merit, not by, I've said it before, their ability to kick harder or run faster than the other kids on the playground. No, a faith of equal standing by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. This is why Peter can confidently say to the beloved in verse 14, which was the start of our passage, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him, by Jesus, and upon his return, without spot or blemish and at peace. In other words, since you are eagerly anticipating the righteous place where there will be no cause for violence or destruction or devastation, be diligent now to be growing in righteousness. And we confess this already with the Heidelberg Catechism of what this looks like. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own. I love how the catechism. So a catechism, if you're unfamiliar, is just questions and answers about a Bible. Questions and answers about the Bible. And in a very succinct way, It tries to take some very complicated bits of the Bible and put them into memorable chunks. So since we, the people of God, those who have surrendered to King Jesus, since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also restoring us by his Spirit into his image. We were not made to err. To be human is not to err. To be fallen, but not to be human. We were made in the image of God. And God, in the beginning, he chose to do this way. He started creation with something that was empty and that was formless and void. You can't really do life in the formless and void. So God took the place that was hard for living and ordered it to make it good for life. And then he made men and women in his image to be pictures of who he is on earth. And he entrusted them to share in the process of taking a place, of taking a place and making it good for life. That's what we were made for. We were made to work with God, to make places that are good for life. But we fell. But Christ has offered a way back. As we just confessed, restoring us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may now show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, so that he may be praised through us, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, God is at work, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ. They will know we are Christians by our love. And while growth in grace here at the end of 2 Peter is the primary activity for righteousness, there is a drift that Peter warns about. There's a current that pulls at you and tries to sweep you away. It's the twisting of truth. Verse 16, there are some things in Paul's writings, referring back to that, there are some things in Paul's writings that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. There will be those who twist grace. There will be those who twist grace. And some will twist grace with an outright lie. We are freed to sin. That one's pretty easy to spot. We are freed to sin. Some will twist grace to say something true, but stop too soon. We are freed from sin. Sounds like grace, but it's not the whole truth. True grace is we are freed from sin for righteousness. Paul puts it this way in Romans 6, 17 and 18. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. You've got to serve somebody. It's either going to be God, or it's going to be yourself, or it's going to be whatever you're treating as God. You've got to serve something. We are not freed from service. We are freed from slavery to something, to freedom, to serve the God who made us. Paul has written, obedience from the heart. How does that occur? Is that obedience from the heart? Is that something we pump up? Pep talk? Do we look at our track record and say, yep, I did pretty well. I did pretty well last time. I think I'm okay. I got this. No, we don't do that. Paul makes it clear in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who, what did God do for Paul? Who loved me and gave himself for me. The God who made you gave himself for you of his love. Grace truly received will bring you to your need for Jesus and show you how he meets it. Grace truly received will bring you to your need for Jesus and show you how he meets it. For example, later in Paul, you need to battle against sin. Romans 8:13, by the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. So you cannot stand up to sin on your own, but by the Spirit's power, you can stand up to sin. You can put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit's help. Grace truly received will reveal to you again and again the beauty and believability of Jesus. Grace truly received will reveal to you again and again the beauty and believability of Jesus. We sang about this earlier. Lord, I need you every hour. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. How quick are we to defend ourselves and betray that Jesus isn't truly the one defense? Did you just think of doing it right now when I asked the question? Were I in the pew, I probably would have. My one defense, my righteousness. Singing that line is liberating to know that it's not up to me. I am not my defense. I am not my righteousness. Jesus, the righteous one, is our righteousness. And Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5. God made him, Jesus, to be sin. Tim, who knew no sin, to be sin. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So that in him, did you remember that Paul was hard to understand? Jesus, the righteous one, is our righteousness. Paul put it this way. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become the righteousness of God. So we've looked at the new heavens and the new earth as the destination for growing in grace. We want to be there. It's the place where righteousness lives in a way that no destruction or violence is able to exist. There's no cause for it. We've looked at how the righteousness that fills there, that fills that destination, is also the righteousness God is growing in our hearts. The last place actually is not in 2 Peter. It's a callback to 1 Peter. And I figured I was allowed to do that since this is the last sermon in the 1 Peter, 2 Peter series. The new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells. What is it that makes righteousness dwell there? What is it that makes righteousness grow in your heart? This is a gloss of 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me remember how it goes. It's a poem. Jesus, he the stone cast off by men, but by God is chosen precious, as are all who rest in him. So Jesus, the chosen precious one, if you are in Christ, you also are chosen and precious. I'm just going to say the whole poem because it's easier to get in my head. It's actually a fourth verse to a song that will never be used as a fourth verse. But come behold the wondrous mystery. He, the stone cast off by men, but by God is chosen precious, as are all who rest in him. Come, behold this wondrous mystery as we gather in his name. Living stones built up together into God's own dwelling place. We are living stones built into the dwelling place of God. That is why righteousness dwells in the new heavens and the new earth. That is why righteousness grows in your heart. And this is the context where righteousness grows best, is among the living stones built up together into God's own dwelling place, because God dwells here. So we get to sing a prayer. We get to sing a prayer now as we respond. Come thou fount of every blessing. In it we will pray as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. God, tune my heart to sing thy grace. God, by your help, it's by your help that I'm here with you. And by your good pleasure that I arrive safely at home to the new heavens and the new earth. I owe everything to your grace daily, and I need it daily. Let your grace bind my wandering heart to you. Here's my heart. Take and seal it for your courts above. He has promised to return and establish new heavens and a new earth. Beloved, as we eagerly await this place that lasts, this place where righteousness dwells, let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.